The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is I Should Be Writing Season 17, Episode 31.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting watching Doctor.
So, welcome everybody. My name is Mer Lafferty, and this is I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. And I stream live on Twitch on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the episode then gets produced and then put in my RSS feed, which you can subscribe to, where fine podcasts are found. It has been a podcast since 2005, but only streaming since August or September 2020. So I'm still new with the streaming. It still feels new. It sounds like several months old, but don't feel like it, really. But, I'm doing my writing show live now. So what I'm working on is a break. And I'm delighted to be able to say that I'm working on a break, because I've been working on projects one after the other since about December, and it's just a huge relief. And now my brain feels like a wrung out rag, so that's a little tough to deal with. But just trying to give myself a little bit of breathing room before I go back into the next novel edit. Someday it will end. Someday. What I'm reading now is I'm dabbling in a little bit of thrillers. So I'm trying out The Woman in Cabin 10 because I've heard really good things about it, but I'm not finding the protagonist to have saved a cat yet. So she's really annoying. And I want to root for her, but she's really annoying. So I think The Girl on the Train was similar, although she was kind of pathetic, so you kind of felt sorry for her. Hey, thanks for supporting on Patreon, Amanda. Really appreciate it. Scary zombie. Yeah, unfortunately, there's not a Patreon support alert that goes with this stream overlay, so we get the running zombie. I still don't know all the ins and outs of Streamlabs, so I have not changed that. But I have been thinking about messing with my overlays, but changing things in the stream is what I'm going to be doing on my break. Just looking at some stuff, seeing what needs to be tweaked, things like that. Learning a little bit more about this whole thing. I think one of the sad things about the digitization of everything is companies don't use really good tech writers anymore. A lot of things assume you will learn via tutorial. A lot of games assume you will learn through the in-game tutorial. And I don't know what streaming people think you're going to learn from, but tech bros who stream, not always the best people to teach you how to do stuff. So I kind of wish that I could find something to answer my specific questions on streaming, because it feels like actually looking for something doesn't work. I bought a book on streaming. One of the streaming advice was be a girl, because girls get lots of audience members because they're girls. And that was just like reductionist and sexist and wrong, because I'm pretty sure if you name the top 10 streamers on Twitch, they're mostly white guys. Anyway, I want to talk about good news. If anybody has good news, please put it in the chat here. If you hear this later and you want to tell me your good news to be announced on the next show, just send me an email at mightymer@gmail.com and say good news, because I like to celebrate people's achievements and I like to push the yay button, which makes confetti fall. and you hear a little bit of audience in the background. Friends and I finally set a date for our first in-person D&D session for over a year. That's excellent. I love hearing that people are able to get together again. We're talking with our gaming group about when to restart. Very excited about that. Tree Lobsters talked a few people into beta reading my new novel. Fantastic. I get to push the button so many times. Yay! And we have Indigo Quill got my third rejection. Only thing is I wish they would tell me why, but I guess that's asking for the moon. Yeah, it's rough when they don't tell you anything. But you got your third rejection, which means you're working, and that's great. So yeah, if you have any good news, or if you guys in the chat come up with some good news later, feel free to email me. I'll bring it up at the next recording. So I've been thinking about money a lot, and I kind of toyed with doing this episode, and then I realized that it can come up, and I know I have more people than just new writers tuning in. So I want to talk about money from the point of view of an author, because if you're not making it now, you should at least know what to expect when you start. Because there's still so much people don't understand about money and advances and taxes. So I wanted to cover some of those. The answer I do not know is when you should incorporate or whether you should incorporate. I know the reasons for incorporation, but I don't know what steps you would go through, what boxes you have to check in order to make it a good idea for you. But incorporating keeps you safe, because if you produce anything that someone could sue you for, then your business takes the hit and not your personal finances. Whereas if you're working as a freelancer, like I am now, your personal finances will take the hit if somebody sues you. And, you know, as much as you don't want your business to go under, I think you want your business to go under before you want your family nest egg to go under. So that's one of the reasons to incorporate. And Cypher of Tyr, I'm now Team Cypher. I haven't gotten the bug to put on my stream yet, but I am with Team Cypher, very excited. So Tanya from Team Cypher was saying that it also helps with getting a loan, because instead of just, I'm a freelancer that made X amount 1 year and X minus some amount another year and X plus some amount the third year, and they don't like to be, people don't like seeing that, especially people who loan money. Even if you've managed to pay your bills, they're thinking, well, you may not be able to next year. But if you incorporate, you can say, I have a business, and this is my business, and this is what my business has made. So that's one reason for incorporating. But I still don't know what boxes to check in order to incorporate. So I can't help you there. But I can say that when you start selling, and this counts for self-publishing, it counts for almost everything except for maybe short stories. You know, pulling in a couple hundred here and there is going to be a, I think there's some, I'm sorry, I'm not an accountant. I wanted to talk about this, but I am talking about this like your buddy you're meeting over coffee and not an official financial advisor. So I don't know what the limit is to where you can just keep everything you make, but it's pretty low. And I would just get in the habit of setting a third aside every time you get paid. And if you don't need to pay taxes on it, great! You've just saved a third of your income for something else. And that's great. When I worked at Red Storm Entertainment, I was among the second or third wave of hires there, and my husband was in the first wave of hires, so we got stock options. And then when Ubisoft bought it, we were a company of a lot of young people. And they hired a financial advisor to come in and talk to us about the fact that we're going to be getting a big bag of money. And they said, it's on you to pay taxes on this money. We're not taking taxes out. And they I remember it so clearly, them standing in front of the whole company saying, "Be smart with this." I'm not kidding at all in the next phrase when I tell you that one of the guys, when he got his payout, bought a DeLorean. And then you can probably guess how shocked he was the next April. This is one of those things that people dream about. They dream about the six-figure advance. They dream about the money that comes in, like paying your bills via self-publishing. Amazon will send you a tax form at the end of the year, and you will have to submit that with your taxes. Which is why I said if you're making a couple hundred here and there with your short stories, that's different. Publishers don't do that for you. But Amazon will. And Barnes & Noble does. Hell, what's the other one? I stopped using it because it kept changing its rules as to what made the thing viable. It starts with an S. What is it? Oh, God. Doesn't matter. Anyway, no, but Kobo is another good one. Anyway, it'll come to me. Smashwords! Thank you, Underpope. You win. Yay, Underpope, for remembering Smashwords. Smashwords was... It's a good system, except for the fact that I would load a book, and it would be fine. It would publish the book. And then, like, a couple of months later, it would say, "Oh, wait a minute. Red flag on this book. It doesn't meet our guidelines." I'm like, "It met your guidelines 2 weeks ago." And I finally got tired of that, so I just stopped. I just pulled them all off Smashwords. I wasn't making a lot of money anyway. So yeah, Tree Lobster says, "I've gotten 1099 forms from Kindle and Lulu." Kindle and Lulu will also, well, Kindle's Amazon. Lulu will also send you tax forms. So that you don't get shocked, again, just try to think of it as you're saving money for an upcoming bill. The bill may be to the government. The bill may be you don't need the money for taxes and you need a car payment or car repairs or something. But get in the habit now of just throwing money aside, 30%, because yeah, it's just scary when the taxes come due. This is all freelance money that nobody else will take it out. And so the government's expecting you to. So you really need to be smart in that case. And it sucks, because 30% is a lot. But it's so much better to be grumpy about it now than utterly shocked next spring. I've done this before, but it always bears repeating, because I have it in my mind. It's not a conscious thought, but it's in my mind that if I've said something before on a stream or a podcast, then everybody knows. Like, I'm streaming to like 20 people right now, so it's not like I've got this huge audience, but I need to say it again because it is such a misunderstood thing for new writers and for people who are jealous of new writers. And that's the six-figure advance is not as awesome as it sounds. It's awesome. Don't get me wrong. It's awesome. But it's probably not as awesome as most people think it is, because a six-figure advance, usually, it's more for more than one book, and it's spread out. So you get... Imagine you get a six-figure advance. It sounds very exciting. $100,000. You can quit your day job and focus only on your writing. Well, when you sign, you get one payout, and that's... It varies. Sometimes it's half of the whole thing. Sometimes it's half of the first book. It depends. But you're not going to get any more than 50% for sure. So even if it's 50%, that's great. $50,000. Who's going to sneeze at that? But your agent, who probably got you that six-figure deal, is going to take 15% of that. So now you're down to, oh, I can't do math that fast. 42,000. And then, well, remember what I just said about the government? You're going to want to put a third of that aside. So that's a little bit less than 20,000 now. A little bit more than 20,000. That sounds really shiny. Still getting one check for $20,000, but you've just quit your day job. And that's a signing bonus, not bonus, but it's your advance on signing the contract, which also may not happen until months after the offer. It doesn't happen right away because then the lawyers at the publisher and your agent need to hash things out. So, after that, you work with your editor to clean up the first book. Let's say, well, it got you the deal, so your first book's probably clean. You'll get another percentage when you turn that book in, but it's going to be a lot smaller than your first advance check because it's probably only about a third of one book. I did all the art. I did all of the math on this once and spread it out. And I don't have that data with me, but Underpope says, a friend of mine got a six-figure advance on her debut novel, and it's already paid out since it was published in September. Wow. Six-figure on one novel? Wow. Well, we'll tackle that. Okay, so a trilogy. It can't already have all paid out because publishers are going to want to ensure she turns in the second book. So that's, she probably just got her contract signing, and then you get some when you turn in the next draft, the final draft, and then you get some on publication. And now you have to write the second book, then you get more when you turn in that final draft. And you know how long it takes to write a book. So that there could be a long wait between those. And then the payouts are smaller as you go on and less frequent. Not less frequent, but there's months between them. And so while your first payout was really nice, your third payout's going to be like $8,000. Because if you get a $100,000 deal on a trilogy that is a little bit more than $33,000 per book, and if you get a third of that on publication, say, that's $11,000, but then you minus your $15,000 for your agent, and then you minus $30,000 of what's left, not $30,000, sorry, 15% and 30%, and then you're left with, I think I figured out, $8,500 or $8,000, and that's going to have to last you months until the next payment. And it just breaks my heart when people think that they've got it made when they get that advance. What the advance gets you is a nice payout to begin with, but then you have to do all the work. And so, Writer Benjamin asks, do you pay the taxes on the royalties or the advance? They're the same thing. You pay the taxes when the money comes, or rather, the year after the money comes. So I signed my deal with Ace a couple of years ago, and I paid money on that contract signing the following year. When the book starts to sell, the money that comes in is going to go towards that advance. That's why it's called an advance, because they're not just giving me money and then when the book comes out, they'll give me more money. When the book comes out, whatever it sells goes towards paying off the advance. It's like a debt, except if your book doesn't pay out, you don't have to pay it back, because most books don't pay out. But if you make like $5 a book, you're going to need to start really pushing your books so you'll earn out the advance. And then after you earn out the advance, then your royalties come. And you will get, the royalties will go from your publisher to your agent. Your agent will take their 15% and send you the rest. So what you really want to do to make regular money is to build a backlist, so that while it's great to get a larger influx of cash when you sign a new deal, you're really counting on the fact that you get biannual payments for the books that are already out there. She did quit her job, says Underpop. I hope she's okay. I hope she ends up okay, because she's going to have to earn that back before she gets royalties. Or she's going to have to turn in the other books really quickly. Has a spouse who earns well. That's important. I'm just basing this on one person's income. So yeah, if you've got a spouse that helps support you, that's different. But just if you're, I'm just talking about the writer as a sole entity. When I first did the math on this, I did a blog post several years ago. I took like the average McDonald's wage, and over 4 years, McDonald's pays out better than a trilogy deal, a six-figure trilogy deal. And nobody wants to hear that, but it's much better to hear it now than to get a six-figure deal and then think that you've got it made and then not understand how everything's going to work and how you don't get a check for $100,000. You don't get a check for $85,000 after the agent takes it. You will get the check as paid out as the publisher says, and you will get minus 15%, and then you're responsible for putting the taxes aside. You want to put the taxes aside. Please believe me on this. 1 year I was not responsible. I'll just admit it. And that year hurt a lot. So I'm trying now to put aside 30%, because otherwise I'll be screwed. Back to the chat. Tree Lobster says, I'm in an interesting position. I might be able to retire as early as 2024, but I'm not sure what happens to my Social Security payments if I happen to earn anything from my writing. I do not know the answer to that. That would be a question for your accountant. Definitely. Christian, I have the same dream. The dream is for me to earn enough writing so the husband can be a house spouse. I would love to earn a lot so my husband could retire early, because he's done so much to support my career thus far. But yeah. I covered this in a previous episode called Poor Little Rich Writer, because the magazines and newspapers love to find somebody who hit it big when they got their first deal, and then crashed and burned because they didn't understand how publishing works, or didn't understand how advances works, or thought they needed to live in New York City or something. This is all information that's out there, but it still baffles me that people don't look for it. Because, I mean, you write a book and someone hands you a big old bag of money with no strings attached. That sounds too good to be true, and it is. Frank's daughter says, my dream is to have my first sale at the moment. That's fair. That's fair. I know I'm going a little bit further into pro talk than I usually do, but I want you to hear this now so that you won't be shocked when it comes time to pay up. When you do make a little bit, if you publish on, publish on Amazon, Amazon's going to send you that tax form. And you got to say, oh, I have to give this to my accountant, which probably means I'm going to have to take a third of this and give it back to the government. So it's rough and it's sad. And I have the problem of, you know, I've had several agents over the years. And so my royalties are paid for by different people. And so I know that this time, around April, is royalty time for the last half of the last year. So I'm getting last half of 2020 royalties now. But they don't all come at the same time, and they come from different people. And I have to keep track of who I've heard from and who I haven't. And then I have to chase down the money. So it's a dirty thing to talk about these finances when you really just want to say, let's talk about conflict. But you need to know. I've heard people say that, you know, they get an MFA and they get better at their craft, but no one teaches them anything about the business. And I brought this up at my MFA program, and they're just like, no, we teach the craft of writing. You can learn the business stuff elsewhere. And I'm like, you're sending all these people out to try to have a career, and they don't know how to manage their own finances. They don't know how to get an agent. This is wrong, which is one of the reasons why I do these podcasts. Because I want people to understand what they're getting into. Is writing my dream job and something I'm so happy and lucky doing? Yes. Is it a pain in the ass when it comes to tax time? Yes. It's awful. But it's still worth it. Speaking of the dreams of doing this for so long, I am waiting for some sort of... I want to go back to the COVID people and just say, hey, you gotta... Among all those injections, you have an injection of like self-confidence or something. Because as you guys know, I've been doing work on 3 projects for the past like 4 or 5 months. And they're now all at least at a milestone of turning in and out of my hands. One of them is officially done. But I submitted an invoice today for one of the projects, and I heard back from the owner of the company saying, you know, I really loved what you did with this. It's great. I'm like, yay! It's very push the yay button. Yay! He loved it. I'm so happy. I might get more from them, etc. And then I heard from another editor that I turned something in, and he's like, okay, I'm starting on it today. I can't wait to read it. And I'm like, he's gonna think it's garbage. I sent him garbage. He's going to hate it. And I'm like, I just heard that an editor loved what I wrote. And I'm still just freaking out because another editor is reading something and I don't have confidence that it's going to be great. Would love to have some of that confidence. So, yeah. I think the only thing experience gets you is you may not have confidence, but you know you got to do the work, so you do the work and turn it in and hope. You still do the best you can. Freak's Daughter says, I'm good with the pro talk. It lets me know what to look for and think of in advance. Good. Do your previous agents still handle the royalties for what they negotiated at the time, or does that stuff get transferred to your current agent? That is an excellent question, Kay Kimmy. And the answer is, they keep it. They did all the work to get the sale. And they will continue... The publisher will continue to send them the payments, and they will continue sending it to you. And even though you may only work with the accountant at that agency, this is another reason why if you sever ties, you want to do so professionally and kindly, because you can't just slam the door and walk away. You still have to talk to these people for money. And they might still have the rights to your foreign rights, or your film and TV rights. I think one of my agents I had like 7 years ago is still trying to sell the Shambling Guide rights because that's their property to sell the rights for. You can't, and I don't know how this is done, but you can sell, an agent can buy the rights to the contracts back if they leave the publisher. I don't quite know how that's done, but they can buy the rights and take them with them to the new agency, but that doesn't happen very often, I don't think. So right now I've got money coming from four agencies, and that doesn't count the agency I just signed with. It's fun. So, yeah, this is why you be a professional even when you have to fire somebody, because you're probably not done with them. The only non-self-published money I've made so far was contributing to an anthology for charity. Made a whole $7. You know what, Tree Lobster? That is $7 more than I made from Star Wars. Because the anthology that I donated to, because that was for charity and they didn't pay anything. Not a cent, but it was for charity. So that was, I was fine with that. Do You have to stop figuring out your own taxes when you get writing income. I think you're asking, do you need an accountant? And I would say definitely, but you still have to. I've had two accountants so far in my freelance life, and neither of them are the dump your receipts in a box and bring it to me. They may be like that, but I know it'll cost a lot more if I do that. So I still have to fill in the workbook of here's how much I spent on travel, here's how much I spent on food, here's how much I spent on electricity in my house because I write from home, and all of that. So I pay someone to do the taxes to make sure I get it done right, but it's still kind of really, really a big headache. Every year around this time, I pledge to get my stuff together faster, or get my stuff together as it goes along, so when tax time comes, I'll just already have it all laid out. But I never do. I'm going to go ahead and end this here for the RSS feed. I need to make a clear delineation because I have a wonderful producer whose job it is to make this sound good and short and not like a conversation between me and the chat. If you are interested in hearing the rest of the conversation, you can tune in live on Tuesday and Thursday, twitch.tv/mightymur, or you can support the Patreon and check out where I put this whole episode in completion. That's not even the word I'm looking for. I put the whole episode audio into the feed for the Patreon supporters. But for now, check me out at merverse.com or wherever fine podcasts are, or twitch.tv/mightymur. You can support the Patreon at patreon.com/mightymur, and that helps me pay for things like streaming gear and transcriptions and the production I just told you about. So, thank you guys for listening, and you should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymur. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I should be writing. I should be working on my grant. When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.